Well, this morning it's my privilege to introduce our speaker this morning, Reverend Jay Sundberg, who serves as a missionary to Central Europe. He and his wife, Deanna, are field strategy coordinators for Central Europe. And how many countries is that?
11.
11 countries, and working on two more
working
in the
on
next
two more.
15 months. So they've been in that position and living in Hungary since 2011. Mm-hmm. Before that, Bulgaria, and before that, Russia. So 25 year on the mission field.
Yeah.
And so, Jay, come and share with us this morning what God's placed on your heart and what God is doing around the world. Can we welcome him as he comes this morning?
Great. Thanks, John. Do you mind if I stay down here? Is that all right? Does that mess anybody up on the booth or anything? You can put the Bible on the altar, can't you? I'll put my water back here. Good morning. Great to be with you today. And I'm here today. One purpose of why I'm here is to say thank you. Thank you for your support of missions and continuing to be faithful in praying and giving. And because of your faithfulness, God blesses what you do, and we're able to be on the mission field, be in places where we are, and we need you to continue to be faithful. And God is blessing what you do. And so all of the stuff that I'll talk about today is a result of your faithfulness and your commitment to missions together with us. So thank you. Thank you. As John said, John, thanks for inviting me to come. It's good to see you and Katie and to meet your girls. We've prayed for you guys a lot, and it's great to see you. Great to be together again. It's just great to be here. As John said, my role is field strategy coordinator, and we oversee the growth and development of the church in 11 countries in the Central Europe field. When you think of Central Europe, you probably think of countries like Germany and Austria. It's none of those countries, so our field is a little bit misnamed. You can see it's the gray lines over there, not the white ones that's in the Middle East a little bit, and it's the gray ones over there. So we currently, the 11 countries that we currently have a small and growing presence, I'll name them for you. Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Poland, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, Kosovo, and Croatia, all right? So today, actually they're several hours ahead of us, but we have Nazarenes that are meeting in churches like this. Well, not like this, it's a beautiful church, but smaller churches, smaller groups of people that are meeting together. There are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and there are Nazarene brothers and sisters in those 11 countries. So that's exciting. And as John said, we're looking at starting in two new countries in the next 15 months. The country of Serbia. If you remember Serbia, NATO was warring against Serbia 20 years ago. Was it 20 years ago? Around 20 years ago. And now we're being invited to come into Serbia and to do compassionate ministries and to plant churches. So we're excited about that. We have a young couple going to Serbia in January of 2020, and we have some other plans later on to join them, and so it's exciting. Please pray for the church in Serbia. And the other one is not approved yet, and probably shouldn't announce it before it's approved, but we're making plans to enter the country of Bosnia as well, the country of Sarajevo. Anybody remember what happened in Sarajevo? 1914, somebody was assassinated and World War I started. So Sarajevo, we have people that we're talking to go to Sarajevo. We have an invitation, we have some ministry opportunities there. We just need to get everything approved and get all the logistics done. So we think in 15 months we'll be able to go into the country of Bosnia. So pray for that as well. So we, on the Central Europe field, we get together every 2 years for what we call a field conference. That's when the pastors and leaders and youth come together, and we just encourage each other. We have worship services and training. For the last few years, we've been talking about what does it mean to be a flourishing church? Do you want to be a part of a flourishing church? I want to be a part of a flourishing church. So we're praying to God, asking us in all of our churches across those countries that God would make us into a flourishing church. What does flourishing evangelism look like? What does flourishing discipleship, church planting look like? So we've had many discussions, seminars, trainings, and God is helping us grow into a flourishing church. In September of this last year, we had a field conference where we gathered all of these leaders together. And we have a little video, and it's the, so when you think of our field, here's some faces that you can think of when you remember our field. A flourishing church is a group of people on a mission with God to make an impact in a new place, new location. A flourishing church tries to put Jesus first in everything and meet the needs of people in a new location. A flourishing church helps people find Jesus Christ and grow in Him. In doing so, they help them live out their faith. A flourishing church helps plant new churches in new areas and helps them grow to develop to become new flourishing churches. So that's what people in Central Europe look like, and that's kind of the crazy things we do sometimes together. But when you remember our part of the world, and remember maybe from the prayer card that we have, remember, maybe try to remember these faces, and we'd appreciate your prayers. So we've been pretty active in the last few years with different things. We're getting ready to enter these two new countries, and that takes a lot of work to do. We've been working a lot with revamping the way that we train pastors for ministry, and so we've really worked on that. We have quite a few more pastors in training now, so we're excited about that. We've done a lot of youth ministry. We've had a church-wide emphasis called the Flourishing Church, as I've talked about how to develop our churches in ways that God is calling us to develop. We've had a pretty extensive refugee ministry in the last 4 years, actually. But I want to talk to you today about a passage of Scripture that has changed my life. Scripture, of course, changes our lives. But it has changed the way that I view myself as a Christian and changed the way that I view myself as a missionary. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you today as well. And it's actually a great passage of Scripture as a missionary coming to a faithful church that supports missions. It's the words of Paul, but I would like to adopt his words and make them my words today for you today. So if you have your cell phones, please turn to, or your Bibles, please turn to Philippians chapter 1. I see more cell phones than Bibles. That's all right. I see a few cell phones. That's all right. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 6. These are my words as a missionary to you as a faithful, praying, supporting church, home church. Listen to this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? Now, usually when I read those verses, my mind is brought right immediately to verse 6 because it's so powerful. Being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's great hope for us, right? God has done something in us. God has done something among us. And it's God who is going to carry it on to completion. So that's great hope for us and great power. But I read this passage a while back, and my mind was brought to verse 5. Look at verse 5 again. Just a short verse, not even a complete sentence. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I began thinking about that phrase, partnership in the gospel. Wow. That's a powerful phrase. When you think of the gospel, what do you mean about, what does it mean, the gospel? The good news. Anybody else? What is the good news? What's the good news?
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. God, Jesus came into our world, took upon our sin, died on a cross, was resurrected, so that we don't have to be stuck in our sin and we don't have to die, and we can have new and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Our eternal destiny is changed, right? No longer is our destiny damnation and hell. We now have salvation in Jesus Christ, eternal life. Brothers and sisters, that's good news. It's good news. When you think of the word partnership, what do you think? Anybody, what do you think? What other words do you associate with the word partnership?
Working together.
Working together. Bob, right? You've got all the answers, Bob. You've got all the answers. So just ask Bob. Just ask Bob over here. Okay, what else? What else? What do you think of when you hear the word partnership?
Commitment.
Commitment, okay. Anybody else? Spanish, what do you think of the word partnership? Whatever, it's okay. Partnership is kind of, I think of like a legal term for business, right? If you enter into a partnership, you take on a shared responsibility with someone else. If you have a business and you're in a business partnership and your partner has a certain role in your business, you have a partnership, you have a role in your business as they do their role and you do their role, and maybe there are many partners as everybody does their role, that the overall purpose of the organization is achieved. And in a business, it's you make money, right? You make a lot of money, you achieve your goals, and you're able to do something, right? Brothers and sisters, God calls you, and God calls me to be partners in the gospel. God calls you, God calls me to have a shared responsibility in the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? This great good news that Jesus Christ died for us, gave us new life. Now he calls you, he calls me to have a shared responsibility in that task. Isn't that awesome? Amen? When I began thinking about that, I got to tell you, I was overwhelmed. And it was a two-part overwhelming. First of all, I began to think, me? A partner in the gospel? Me? God, do you remember who I am? Do you remember the times that I've failed you? Do you remember all thy weaknesses and inadequacies? And God, this is the gospel. This is more important than anything else because it's eternal destiny, and you want me to be a partner in the gospel? God, are you crazy? Isn't it too important? Isn't it too vital to give me a part of that responsibility in this overall task called the gospel? You? What do you feel like to be a partner in the gospel? Do you feel ready to take on that responsibility to shape of the gospel, a shared responsibility in this grand mission of God? Do you feel ready for that? But then I began to think, Me. You. That God would think so much of you, that God would think so much of me, that He would include us, He would include me in His great mission in our world, the gospel. What a tremendous privilege. What a tremendous responsibility. Tremendous responsibility, too big for me, but also what a tremendous privilege that God would allow us, include us in His mission of the gospel. So then I began to look at verse 6 again. Verse 6, it gives the job descriptions for all the partners in the partnership. All right? Verse 6 says, listen to this, being confident of this, that He who began the good work, that's God, will carry it on to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? So verse 5 talks about a partnership. And verse 6 says that God starts it and God does everything until it's completed. Where did the partnership go? Brothers and sisters, the scripture is very clear that God will build His church. God will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But God, in His great love and His wisdom, He builds His church, but He does it with your hands. God builds His church, but He goes with my feet, your feet. God builds His church, but He uses you and me to accomplish His task in our world. So what is our task? Simply to be usable, clean instruments in the hands of God for Him to do His work in our world. I can do that. I can do that. You can do that. We can do that. You know, your church, the Church of the Nazarene, wonderful church, right? Praise God for the Church of the Nazarene. Sometimes you got to wonder about the wisdom of the Church of the Nazarene, right? The Church of the Nazarene has given me the task, my wife and I the task. Jay and Tiana, your task is Central Europe, these 11 countries now moving into 13, grow and develop the church. How in the world can I do that? I can't do that. But verse 6 says to me, God builds His church. God begins the work and completes the work. And He just asks us to be available, clean, and usable. I can do that. God will build His church in Central Europe. I'll go, whatever He can get out of me, okay, I don't know if I'm that's the wisest choice to put me there, but whatever He can get out of me, okay. And God will build His church. And you, as supporting churches, you're a part of that. You're partners in the gospel as well. Well, when a missionary comes, you don't really want him to preach, right? You have a good pastor who I'm sure preaches good sermons. I've heard a good sermon from him on Easter Sunday one time in a place a little far from here. When a missionary comes, why would the guy preach a sermon, right? You want to hear stories, right? All right, I hear you. All right. So I want to tell you a story. It's actually an old story. It's not a fresh story. It's a continuing story, but it's an old story. It's over 25 years old. We went to Moscow, Russia. Again, the wisdom of the church, right? Jay and Tiana, go pastor Moscow First Church. It'll be an easy assignment for you. Do they speak English? No? Okay. All right. They speak Russian. Okay. So anyway, we went 25 years ago to Moscow First Church, and that was our assignment. Right before we got there, there was a Work and Witness team that came to Moscow. Anybody been a part of Work and Witness here? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. All right, a few. Work and Witness is one of the best things that our church has going. If you have an opportunity, please be a part of it. It will transform your life, and it certainly is helpful to us that receive Work and Witness teams as well. And this is a story of how Work and Witness, a church through Work and Witness, was a partner in the gospel. So a team came over, and this was actually before we got there, a few months before we got there. There were others there before us. They were working on a certain thing, and as Work and Witness, if you've been on Work and Witness, sometimes not everything works according to plan, but they had to complete a certain project one day so they would be ready to start the next phase of that project the next morning, right? So that required them to work about an hour and a half longer than what they planned so that they can get it done and it would be ready for the what was needed to happen the next day. So they worked an extra hour and a half, got done what they needed to get done, went back to the hotel, got cleaned up, and the plan was to meet in the lobby of that hotel, and there's a restaurant right off the lobby that they were going to have dinner in. It was probably about 8:30 in the evening, so late for them for dinner, and they were standing in the lobby, and the door of the restaurant said open until 10 p.m., and then it had a temporary sign over it that said closed. Closed. What were we going to do? 1994 in Moscow, there aren't a lot of restaurants all over the place. So these people were tired, they were hungry, they needed something to eat. So the team leader was talking, they were just talking around, and a waitress from the bar walked through, and she spoke broken English at the time, and she found out what the problem was. And she said, well, I'll talk to the manager, I'll ask them to reopen the restaurant so that you can have your meal. Okay, great. She got them to reopen the restaurant. So they came in and sat down, and she helped the restaurant serve this work and witness team, this group of people from America, from the United States. So this young waitress in a bar was overwhelmed by this group of Americans, group of Christians, group of people that she'd seen something in them that she'd never seen anything before in her lifetime. She could not believe something that she saw in them. She could not believe how much Coca-Cola that they drank. They drank so much Coca-Cola. They were so tired and thirsty. In Europe, you get little things of Coca-Cola like this. We're used to our big cups of Coca-Cola, free refills. They were thirsty, so she kept bringing Coca-Cola. They made a joke with her about how much Coca-Cola they drank. And someone from the team said, hey, tomorrow we're going to be over here, just a little ways over here, and have a church service. Why don't you come? That's all they did. That's all they did. She was a waitress in a bar, in a hotel, a teenage girl, a little older, late teen. So, lo and behold, church came, and this young girl, whose name's Tatiana, came to the church. Now, you got to understand, for Russian people that don't have a history of church, it's very strange. Why would people get up on a Sunday morning and go to a place to gather together to sing songs about God and whatever else they do? That was very strange to Tanya, but she came. The work and witness team left, and of course, church met every Sunday. Tanya didn't come for a while. And then Tanya remembered this group of people that drank all the Coca-Cola. And she remembered something else about them, that they had joy in their lives. And so she wanted to know more about that joy. She came back to the church. Time went by. Tanya gave her life to Jesus Christ. Work and witness team came, worked a little too long, drank a little too much Coca-Cola, and said to the waitress, why don't you come to church with us? Tanya came, and now she's a Christian because of their partnership in the gospel. Well, we got to Moscow after that happened, and by that time, it was just a few months later, they had hired Tanya in the office, kind of the district church office there, because she was fastly improving in English, and they needed people to help in the office. So when I got there, Tanya was already working in the office, and so I was pastor of Moscow First Church. I had no idea what to do, but we did something. Something happened then, and we developed a little worship service, and we didn't have very many songs, and, you know, it was really rough. Tanya came to me. This is a nightmare, John. This is a nightmare. Tanya came to me, and she said, Pastor Jay, our music is horrible. Like, oh. She was right. It was bad. It was bad. She said, would it be okay if I would take some of my work time and I would translate some songs from the Sing to the Lord hymnal. Do you have the hymnals here? There it is. From the Sing to the Lord hymnal into Russian. We had it on, I think it was 3x5, remember those 3x5 discs at that time? We had it on 5 discs, and I said, yeah, sure. So Tanya had a job that she did in the office, but when she had free time, I saw her pull out those discs, pull off those, and begin to translate songs. I didn't know what she was doing. Well, a couple of months went by, and Tanya came back to me and said, Pastor Jay, I think I'm done. I have 137 songs. Tanya created the first Nazarene hymnal in Russian, because a work and witness team came, worked too much, what else did they do? Drank too much Coca-Cola, and someone said, why don't you come with us to church? But because of their partnership in the gospel, Tanya's a Christian, and we have a Russian hymnal for the Church of the Nazarene, because of their partners. God did it all. Well, time went by, and you know, a missionary's job is not to stay in a location, stay in a job, to work himself out of a job. So guess what happened? Time for me to move out of that job as pastor. Guess who became the first Russian pastor of Moscow First Church of the Nazarene? Tanya. Tanya. Somebody drank too much Coca-Cola. And somebody said, why don't you come to church? A young girl, a waitress in a bar in a hotel. That's not a great thing in Russia. That's not a great thing. She became a Christian. She developed a hymnal. She became pastor of Moscow First Church of the Nazarene. Do you want some more? Tanya married a guy went to Bible college and got European Nazarene Bible College, finished, got ordained, and married an Italian guy that was from there. And then she came back to pastor the church, as I said. And they are responsible to train. Part of their role is now to train all the pastors in the former Soviet Union. She was a waitress in a bar, and now she and her husband are training all the pastors in the former Soviet Union. They oversee that whole program for the Church of the Nazarene. Well, that's true until about 2 years ago. And when the church asked Tanya and Davida to be pioneer missionaries to open the work of the Church of the Nazarene in the city of Minsk in the country of Belarus. So Tanya and her husband Davida are now beginning the Church of the Nazarene in a new country. Amen. Partnership in the gospel. You see, God does it all. God saved Tanya. God helped Tanya make that hymnal, and God prepared Tanya to be pastor of the church. God empowered and gifted Tanya and Davida to train pastors, oversee that training program. God is with Tanya and Davida now as they're in Minsk, Belarus, and developing the church there. God did it all. But he asked a work and witness team to come and drink Coca-Cola, and they asked the work and witness team to say, hey, why don't you come with us to church? Because of their partnership in the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Brothers and sisters, what about your partnership in the gospel? What about our partnership in the gospel? What are ways that you and I can be partners in the gospel? And maybe our partnership in the gospel won't be that spectacular, and some waitress in a bar will open a new country for the Church of the Nazarene. But what will God do through your partnership in the gospel? Isn't that exciting to think of? How can we... I need to get some water, just a second here. Talk among yourselves. All right, excuse me. Because of your faithfulness in prayer, your faithfulness in giving, if you have the opportunity to come on Work and Witness or to volunteer, by the way, we have many needs in the Eurasia region and specifically in our field in Central Europe for volunteers, short-term, long-term, come. But what will God do through your partnership in the gospel? Isn't that awesome? you may not even realize, be able to draw the line between your partnership in the gospel and what God does through that. Maybe we won't know that until eternity. But what will God do for your through your partnership in the gospel? As a church here, you can be partners in the gospel through your prayers. And there are many stories over and over how timely prayers help missionaries and help the church around the world. Those are real. We felt some of those things, so keep praying. God can use your partnership in the gospel through your giving. We ask you to give. We don't apologize for saying, please give money to the work of missions, because God uses that to do some amazing things around the world. And come. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel till now, and we look forward as that partnership continues in the future. In closing, I'd like to show a picture of our family here. Darren, I think, has got it. This is our family, and please pick one of our prayer cards up in the back. Pray for us, and if you have an opportunity, if you're in Budapest sometime, we'll take you to lunch. So thank you very much for your partnership in the gospel.
Lunch sounds good, and maybe Coca-Cola as well. It might be good. Part of it as well. So
yeah.
Well, hey, today we do have an opportunity to support the work that's happening, to support specifically the Sundberg family. And so in a moment, if we could have ushers help us, we're going to prepare to receive an offering for them. And if you're here from Ames, if you just note on an envelope or on a check, we'll make sure that giving credit goes to Ames. And by the way, when we give towards missions, that helps our local church as well. It's part of what we normally pay as part of budgets. And so it's just a blessing to know, in this case, where some of those funds are going. And so we praise God for that. So we're going to pray for the offering. And then as we receive that offering, there's a short video that Jay's brought that shows it's a video of Budapest, Hungary, where they call home. And so let's pray together for this offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen to work through your church. And Father, your church does not work independently from you, but you have called and equipped your church. So Father, we thank you for what we've heard. We pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, we would go understanding that you have partnered with us. So as we go, Father, may we see our neighborhoods, may we see the world around us in new ways, Lord, the way that you see our world. And Father, as we have opportunity, may we continue to be faithful in prayer and in giving and supporting others as your work spreads, as your kingdom advances, Lord. But be in the midst of our offering, Lord. May it be a blessing to the Sundbergs and to all those who call Central Europe home. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If ushers would come, we'll see this video. just like Iowa, doesn't it? Well, it was a blessing to have Jay with us. As we close, we'll send Jay out there to the foyer, and so if you want to greet him on your way or ask him any other questions, I'm sure he'd be open to that. But I'm just pray a blessing on you, and then we'll go. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these two churches, Father. The opportunity to be together is a blessing. The opportunity to hear about what you're doing has been a blessing to us. I pray, Father, that you would lead us out from this place to be the hands and feet of Christ. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May you go in peace this morning. You are loved. Amen.